God's blessings be upon you today from God the Father, and from Jesus Christ, the Father's Son, and from the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, in this December, we've been doing a sermon series on Luke chapter 6. And so far, we've heard Jesus teach us about to love our enemies, to judge not lest you be judged, and to have good and right words, like white arrows, remember? Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And today is the final sermon in the series, and we're going to look at the last set of verses in Luke chapter 6. And these are very important because Jesus teaches us about what should be our response to his words and teachings in this chapter and beyond. So after teaching us these other things, Jesus then concludes like this. Verse 46 and following. He says, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I tell you? Everyone who comes to me and hears my words and does them, I'll show you what he's like. He's like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation upon rock. And when a flood arose, the stream broke against that house and could not shake it because it had been well built. But he who hears them and does not do them is like a man who built his house on the ground without a foundation, against which the stream broke and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great." So obviously, in these verses, Jesus is teaching us here about our response to his words and teachings, what he wants it to be. And it's very simple. He wants us to do them. Not just to hear them, but like the Nike commercial says, just do it. You're to do his word, to put it into action, to live it out in our lives, to keep it, to keep his word. And you've heard of A Tale of Two Cities by Charles Dickens? Well, Jesus here tells us and brings this to a point with us by telling us a tale of two men, two builders, two houses, and two destinies. So let's take a look a little more at this story he tells us here today so that we can learn from this. First of all, we read this. He says, "Everyone who comes to me and hears my words and does them, I'll show you what he's like." And then he says, "But he who hears and does not do them, I'll show you what he is like." What do we learn from this so far? Well, there are how many people in this story? Two people. I think that's significant. There's not three, four, five, six, or whatever other number. There's two people in the story, which I think teaches us that there are really only two choices, two options, two ways to respond to Jesus and his words. Either you hear him and do him, or you hear him and you don't do them. And that's important because really, from God's perspective, it's not a multitude or variety of ways of living. God sees people on earth as either doing his son's words or not doing the words of Jesus. Another thing to notice by there being these two men in the story is notice to whom who these men are. This parable starts out like this. "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I tell you?" And then we learn of both of these men, there's one who hears and does, one who hears and does not. So both of these men hear the words of Jesus preached to them. So what's that teach us? He's not really so much talking here about people in deepest, darkest Africa in the middle of a jungle. He's talking about people who hear the word and what they're going to do with it. In other words, he's speaking, if you will, to the church, to people who call themselves apostles, who say to Jesus, "Lord, Lord," and he says some people say that and keep his word, some people call him Lord and don't keep his word. And he says there's a big difference between the two, big, big, big difference between those two. So those are the two men. Now let's talk about the two houses that they built. We read here, "Everyone who comes to me and hears my words and does them, I'll show you what he's like. He's like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation upon a rock. But he who hears and does not do them is like a man who built his house on the ground without a foundation." There are two different kinds of houses here. What's a house? What is that in this story? What's it represent, symbolize? Well, a house is your life, what you do. Now, we all do different kinds of things. Some go to Wall Street. They're a sailor on the sea. Some are an insurance salesman, some are a pastor, some are housewives, and these are all things we do, but that's not really what it's about. It's about in whatever job you have, will you do and keep and obey Jesus' words and build your life on it or not? That's building a house. And will you hear Jesus' words, like loving your enemies, judging not lest you be judged, speaking good and right words like white arrows like we talked of, and the other words of Jesus, will you keep them? If you do, you're good and wise. If you are not, do not, you're a fool. Well, let's talk about these two houses a little more. There are two men, two houses, and there are two destinies as a result of the building. Notice for something else here. These two houses, the two men go and build a house, right? Each houses. These houses both look pretty good for a while, don't they? They're probably very beautiful. Both men live in their houses for a while. In both of them, they feel quite secure. To the townspeople, they're probably like, they both look like very similar houses. And in the same way, when you look at people in the world, those who do the Word of God and those who do not do the Word of God, both their lives might look pretty good for a while. There might not seem to be that great of a distinction and difference between the two houses that they're building, one on the Word and one not on the Word. But there, I tell you, is a big difference, big, big, big difference between the two. And how do we know that? For a long time, they're the same, but the difference becomes apparent when comes the storm. The storm. Everyone who comes to me and hears my words and does them, I'll show you what he's like. Like a man building his house who dug deep and laid the foundation of the rock. And when a flood arose, the stream broke against that house and could not shake it because it had been well built. But he who hears and does not do them is like a man who built his house on the ground without a foundation, against which the stream broke, and immediately it fell, and great was the fall of it. The ruin of that house was great. So they both seem the same until the storm comes. And we see that kind of in the world too, in physical stuff too, right? Just look at Hurricane Sandy. Those houses on the Jersey Shore were built on sand without a foundation. And for decades and decades and decades, they looked good. Perfectly fine. Until came the storm. And in 24 hours, it caused $65.6 billion in damage. And all it was just reduced to rubble, sticks, and firewood. Well, lest we be too proud of ourselves, let's remember, around here, all of our houses are built on sand, right? Without a foundation. How many people here live in condos? Okay, a couple of you, a lot more at the early service. I guess that's the condo crowd. But you probably feel pretty safe there. I don't mean to alarm you, but just imagine if we get a great superstorm coming here. They're built for hurricanes, but let's say you have something 200-plus mile-an-hour winds, 50-foot tidal waves coming in repeatedly. How are you going to feel in that condo now, built on sand without a foundation? You want to be anywhere but there. Where would you want to be? Alaska, probably, right? But let's say you can't leave the coast here. Where would you be? Well, I know where I'd go if I could get in. I'd go to NASA and the Vehicle Assembly Building. And why is that? Because when they built their building, they had foresight about a possible superstorm, and they were willing to work hard to dig deep and put in the extra effort and money to make it happen. And so what they did was they laid 30,000 square yards of concrete, 4,225 steel rods, each going down 160 feet below the sand into limestone bedrock below. And that place is as solid as any building has been built. Yes, if there's a superstorm, that's the one that's going to stand. And Jesus says to you today, that's how I want you to build your life. When you hear my words, I want you to not just hear my words and forget. I want you to do them. Because a person who does that is wise. He's building a life on my word, and that house, that life shall not be shaken. But the fool hears and does not do it, and the ruin of his life, of his soul, will be immediate and great. And that's a sober word, isn't it? Two men, two buildings, two destinies. Well, next question. What's the storm in this story? What is it? What is it? Well, you could think of the storms of life, right? There's a maybe financial disaster or a car accident, or an unexpected disease, or a cancer, stage four, or maybe the unexpected death of a loved one. These are all storms in life, right? They're hard to get through. It's like a torrential rain. And how great it is to be founded on the rock, on Jesus Christ in those times. I personally don't know how. I mean, I visit the hospital. I don't know how unbelievers, people who don't know Jesus, deal with times like that, because they don't have this rock under them to secure them and get them through. It's hard for us too, but we have the rock of Israel. Remember what it says? Behold, I'm laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone, chosen and precious. He who believes in him will not be put to shame. The rock is Jesus and his word. So it could be the storms of life, you might think, and certainly he's a lifesaver in my book, Jesus is, but that's not the storm he's talking about here. It's a different storm. I'm going to prove it to you right now. This same passage that's found in Matthew 7, as it is in Luke 6, everyone who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. That story. You know what the context of that is? The thing Jesus says immediately before that, in verse 21, he says this: not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father, who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you evildoers. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man built his house upon the rock, etc. So what's the context there? What is the storm? The great day of judgment, the day of wrath, the day when God calls all flesh to an accounting before him. That's the storm that we're talking about. And if you build your life on Jesus and live according to his words with his help, you're building a good house that will weather that storm. But if you build with straw and on sand and without a foundation, hearing them on Sunday but not living them on Monday, you're fooling yourself. You're deceiving yourself. You will not weather that storm, he says. So don't be a fool. Be wise. This is seen even in the Old Testament. Check this out, how much this resonates. Nahum, the prophet, says, chapter 1, verse 7, the Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble. He knows those who take refuge in him, but with an overflowing flood, he will make a full end of his adversaries and will pursue his enemies into darkness. With what? Are you hearing? Overflowing flood. Why do you plot against the Lord? He will make a full end. He'll not take vengeance twice on his foes. Check out this one from Psalm 32. Therefore, let everyone that is godly offer prayer to thee. At a time of distress, in the rush of great waters, they shall not reach him. You are a hiding place for me. You preserve me from trouble. You encompass me with deliverance, God. And Isaiah says in Isaiah 59, according to their deeds, he'll repay. Wrath to his adversaries, requital to his enemies. To the coastlands, he'll render requital. So they shall fear the Lord from the west and his glory from the rising of the sun, for, listen, he will come like a rushing stream, which the wind of the Lord drives. And he will come to Zion as Redeemer to those in Jacob who turn from transgression, says the Lord. See, to see, Jesus is telling this parable to say the stream that breaks against the houses of all people is his wrath. But if you build your life like this, like the coconut in the children's sermon, the wind will not beat it. But if you are building it with these packing popcorn peanuts, it's driven away and will not stand. And so he's saying, it's no joke what I'm telling you today. You're to hear. And when you hear, I want you also to do. That's being a wise man and not a fool. So take heed how you hear today. For Proverbs 10 says, when the tempest passes, the wicked is no more, but the righteous is established forever. I'm going to ask you right now, are you building your life on the rock? On Jesus' words? Well, this is what he wants us to do. For it's not enough just to hear. And we see that happening in the Old Testament all the time. Check this verse out. Sounds just like today. Hopefully not in this church, but Ezekiel 33. God says to him, as for you, son of man, Ezekiel, your people who talk together about you by the walls and at the doors of the houses, say to one another, each to his brother, come and hear what the word is that comes from the Lord. In other words, they're like, I want to get on down to church and hear the pastor preach, because, oh boy, he preaches a good sermon. And they come to you as people come, and they sit before you as my people, and they hear what you say, but they will not do it. For with their lips they show much love, but their heart is set on their gain. And lo, you are to them like one who sings love songs with a beautiful voice and plays well on an instrument. For they hear what you say, but they will not do it. When this comes, and come it will, then they will know that a prophet has been among them. So I want to ask you, when you come and hear me preach, I hope I do a good job. I do my best each week. I hope it's entertaining. But am I sitting up here playing love songs for you? And you go along home and say, boy, that was a pretty sermon today. Sure sounded nice. But if you hear it and you don't do it, I ask, what's the use of it? Why should I pour my soul's blood into preparing a sermon 15, 20 hours a week or something like that? At least a lot of heartache and headache sometimes. If it's of no use and it doesn't get done and it doesn't get past Sunday morning. Well, what's the use of a quarterback bringing the people into scrimmage and telling them to play if they go to the scrimmage line and then everybody says whatever the heck they want? The purpose is of Christianity is that hearing the word and believing it, you're saved. And then having believed in it, you then do it and not hear it only, because we're saved for obedience. Jesus says again, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and don't do what I tell you? And then he tells the parable. And so why do people not want to go with the word? Why do people hear it and then not do it? One problem is they're not having foresight. They're not remembering that a storm is coming. Bob the Builder in our children's sermon had foresight. NASA had foresight. They were willing to dig deep and live it out. Are you willing to dig deep into that word and lay that foundation? God says in Jeremiah, an appalling and horrible thing has happened to the land. The prophets prophesy falsely. The priests rule at their discretion. My people love to have it so. But what will you do when the end comes? And God says to people today who hear but do not do, what will you do when the end comes? When comes the storm? What then? So we want to build with foresight, with wisdom, and dig deep into the word and seek to live it out. Granted, we don't do that perfectly. What happens when you don't do it perfectly? Repent, confess it, go on, and keep doing it. We're all works in progress, but there's a big difference between those who hear and do and strive to do and those who hear and do not. So I thought, though, Pastor, we were saved by faith alone, justified by grace through faith alone and not by works. Well, you're right. Listen to what it says, though, in Ephesians 2. By grace you've been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It's the gift of God, not because of works, lest any man should boast. So, faith alone, say amen. Amen. Grace alone? Amen. Christ alone? Amen. Gift of God? Amen. Amen. But notice the next line. He says, for we are his workmanship, verse 10, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared before, and that we should walk in them. God doesn't save you to let you, just have you sit on your duff for the rest of your life and do nothing. Not saying that you do. I think you guys do great. But the purpose is that you're not saved by good works, but you're saved for good works. And what he wants you to do is build your life on his word. And listen to how he tells us that in the scriptures in the New Testament. One woman comes up to him one day and says to Jesus, blessed is the womb that bore you and the breasts that you sucked. And Jesus says, blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and do it. Who is my mother and my brothers, says Jesus, stretching out his hand toward his disciples. Here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and my sister and my mother. He says in John 14, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. He who has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. Faith shows itself out in faithfulness. Who then is the wise and faithful servant whom his master will set over his household to give them their food at the proper time? Jesus says, blessed is he whom his master, when he comes, will find so doing. So what? So doing. Are you hearing me today? Are you driving that down? Are you digging deep with it? Are you going to do this at the Portside Galley? Tonight? Tomorrow? Or will you go away and forget? Well, I know that you'll do better than that. If you know these things, Jesus says, blessed are you if you do them. James says, but if you be doers of the word and not hearers, only deceiving yourselves. For Paul says, God is going to render to every man according to his works. To those who by patience and well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, he'll give eternal life. But for those who are factious and do not obey the truth, but obey wickedness, there will be wrath and fury, the storm. But here's the good word. Truly, truly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he'll never see death. Isn't that beautiful? Safe and secure in him. Last question. How do we do it? You hear. You dig deep with it. How do you do good deeds? Good works. Well, you can't do it on your own. You just plain don't have the strength. It's not by your own will, although you should will and plan and strive. But Jesus says, I am the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me and I abide in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. You can't do diddly. You can't do squat. You can't just muscle yourself into these things. What you need to do is take Jesus and his word deep into your heart with faith, and he's the one inside you that produces the good out of you. The white arrows of words, the good deeds, and all these things. Paul said, I worked harder than any of the rest of the apostles. It was not I, but the grace of God was just in me. Christ himself lives in me. I died, he lives, he does his works. And Jesus himself said, it's the Father himself who's doing the works in me, and the Father and I and you do those works in you, which I've prepared beforehand for you to walk in. And by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. So this is a story Jesus tells today of two men, of two buildings, and of two destinies. So take heed how you hear. Hold the word fast, and he will bring forth the fruit in you, that you may have confidence for the day of judgment. A Savior in Jesus, and a carpenter who tells you how to build your life, to dig deep in his word. Psalm 32, therefore, let everyone who's godly offer prayer to thee. At a time of distress, in the rush of great waters, they shall not reach him. For thou art a hiding place for me. You preserve me from trouble. You encompassed me with deliverance. In Jesus' name, amen.